Do you get excited about the Word of God? Melissa on the front row. I love it. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Melissa gets fired up about the Word of God, man. Teen Challenge graduate, Teen Challenge employee, repping that God has just blessed her, restoring her family with her kids, restoring, give her a new home. I'm talking about three-bedroom house. That's what I'm talking about. Do you even pay? No. That's free home, right? A free home. Dude, are you people listening to me? A free home, not a free car that, you know, runs ragged, but a free home. Come, all right, man, I might as well just quit, man. They ain't even listening tonight. Is this thing on? I know Float Daddy's listening. Man, I'm going to tell a quick story real quick. I promise we're going to be fast. What time is it? 9:39. I'm going to be done by 10. That gives me 20 minutes so they can start by 10. All right, I've told a story. How many of you ever heard my frog story? One, two, just a few of y'all, dudes. Y'all gonna love this, man. You better get ready. This is so cool because there's a big frog city and everything, man. It's so cool. The kids really, do you know what a frog city? Do you believe in a frog city? I believe in a frog city. I believe frogs have, like ants, you know how they have ants? I believe frogs have cities, man. I'm not crazy. Actually, I am crazy. I'm crazy about Jesus. Amen. Can somebody say, okay, good deal. All right, well, man, there's this frog city, and these frogs decide they're going to have this big contest on who can climb the highest tower in the city, and they're going to be who's going to be the big macho man that can actually climb the highest and go all the way to the top. So they go and they put this big race together, and they get the frogs that want to be in the contest, and all of the city is like, dude, y'all are crazy. You can't do this, man. There's no way y'all can climb that tower right there. It's too big. You guys cannot do it. And the frogs say, man, forget y'all, dude. We're going to do this. We're going to have this race, and we're going to prove who's a man, and we're going to see who can climb to the top of this tower. So they go and they get it all, and so a race day, here we go, we got all the frogs lined up, there's the tower, the big building in front of them, and here's the rest of the city, and they're all sitting there screaming, and they're going, y'all are crazy. Stop, don't do it, don't climb that tower. Am I screaming too loud for you? Good. Yeah. Okay, I can do it, brother. I better spit this gum out because I'm going to spit it on somebody in a minute. So they're ready to go, okay, and they're sitting there, and everybody behind them, all the city and the rest of the people, or the frogs in the city are screaming, don't do it. Stop, don't. You're going to die. You're all going to die. There's no way you can make it up. Boom, the gun goes off, and there they go. They're chugging up. Man, actually, I believe it's more like this. You know what I mean? I guess that's how they climb. I don't know exactly how they would climb, but, you know, or maybe they hopped up. I don't know. Frog leap, you know, maybe up the mountain. But, yeah, I mean, up the towers. But here they go, man, and they take off, and everybody behind them, all the other frogs, go, stop! Please come back. You're all going to die. What are you doing? Stop! They keep going, but about 20 feet up, man, one of them falls off. See, we told you, man, you're all going to die. Stop! Please, y'all, stop. You're going to die. They all keep coming down. Please, man, for the love of everything, please come back. You're all going to die. You're never going to make it all the way to the top. Man, they get closer to the top, and there's one little beady frog left. The smallest frog out of all of them. He's getting up there, man, and they're screaming, come back. You're the only one left. Please come back. He gets to the top, and he stands up, and he's cheering, and they're all going crazy. Everybody's excited, and he comes back down, and he gets there. They're all patting him on the back, and they say, man, we didn't think you could do it. Everybody else fell off, and they died. All the other frogs died. How in the world did you do it? And he goes, Ribbit? Look at y'all like, dude, is that what that was about? Seriously, man, it turns out he was deaf. You see, he couldn't hear them. The reason he made it to the top was because he was deaf. And when they walked in and they said, how did you do it? How did you make it all the way to the top? He just looked at them. Besides, you see, he was deaf. He couldn't hear the negative words coming from them. He couldn't hear what they were saying. You're not going to make it. You're going to die. You're never going to make it to the top. He was deaf. He couldn't hear all of that. All he heard was that little voice inside going, you can do it. You can do it. You can make it. You can make it all the way to the top. I'm going to prove that I can do it and climb this tower. Can you say amen? You see, tonight what I preach, and I'm about to show you, man, and I've got 18 minutes now, and I'm keeping it on clock tonight, I promise. 18 minutes, I'm about to tell you something that could change your life forever if you get a hold of it and you really, really let it dig deep inside of you and you come up for some prayer tonight. I promise you, if you don't listen to those voices behind you that are saying, you can't do that, that's not for you. You're not big enough. You live in Alabama. You're not big enough to do that. You just work at a gas station. You're not big enough for that. You just work for some company. You're not big enough for that. You're going to hear Satan, as I promise you, as I'm preaching this tonight, Satan is going to be telling you, those little bitty voices are going to be telling you, you can't do that. God didn't give you the power to do that. Or then one of these voices is going to be telling you when it's time for prayer and for you to come up and you're sitting there, and one of those voices is going to say, people are watching. My friends are watching. They'll think something's wrong with me. Come on, somebody. You ever heard that voice? My friends will think something's wrong with me, man. They'll think I got sin in my life if I get up and go get prayer. You see, there's going to come a time in just a moment when you're going to be able to receive something so powerful and so awesome, and we're going to do it by the laying on of hands. And some of you are thinking, I'm about to get up and walk up out of here. This dude talking about laying on hands. You hang with me, I promise you. Remember a few weeks ago, I read contradictory scripture and flipped it upside down on y'all, man. If you'd have been here, you'd have loved it. I'm talking about scriptures that actually contradict each other. Y'all believe that? Don't you dare raise your hand. It don't. But I was reading the scriptures plain as day, man, but you got to hang on to the very end to hear what I'm talking about. Because if people would have got up in the middle of that sermon, they would have thought I'm preaching some false gospel. See, if you hung out to the end of it, you'd know what I was talking about. So hang on to the end of it, and I promise you what we're about to do is going to change your life. I want you to, well, you don't have your Bibles. If you have your Bible, how many of you have got your Bibles? Did we come to church without our Bibles? Or did we just come to a concert? Man, this is a house of God. Man, listen, how many of you go to work with your Bible every day? Oh. You go to school with your Bible? Rock on. That'll work. Guys, look, this is just one. This has got four different, this is a parallel. It's got four different translations in it. I've got like six of them laying on my bed. I've got four or five in my office. I've got two in my truck, one in my hunting bag, in my hunting jacket that I read while I'm hunting. I've got Bibles everywhere. Guys, if you need more than one Bible that you've got, let me know. You got to carry, this is the word of God that's going to get you through life. You got to carry it everywhere that you go. Everywhere that you go. Do you go to battle if you're going to go to battle with a sword in your hand? Do you go without your sword? That's the two-edged sword right there. Don't go to war without it, amen? If you're in 2 Timothy, if you do have your Bibles, if anybody in here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And then I'm going to read something to you real quick. We got 15 minutes. Praise God, I'm on time. This is awesome. I'm about to read something to you. The reason this is on my heart. Oh, no, did I lose it? The reason this is on my heart is because of what's going on in our country right now with our government. How many of you like what's going on with our government right now? That's what I thought. You see, I'm about to give you something tonight, man. I'm about to show you something. Are y'all ready? Man, some of you should be sitting over there going, dude, come on, hurry, hurry, tell me, dude, hurry, tell me something. Because I'm sick and tired of watching our government pull the wool over our eyes and we sit back and do nothing about it. Can somebody say amen? I'm sick and tired of people who walk around with a greedy heart and they're taking advantage of little old people in this world, and I'm sick and tired of it, and God gave me the power to do something about it. Somebody better say amen tonight. You see, I'm about to read you. How many of you know about this health plan bill going on? Yeah, you know, but how many of you know what's in it? How many pages are in it? What's it really say? Not a hand went up in this house. Not a hand went up in this house. You know, our Constitution, doesn't it start off, we the people? We the people. Not we the politicians. We the people. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't know what. Woo! That came out of nowhere. It starts off, we the people. We the people. You, me. Run this thing. We run this thing. We put them in office. Actually, you know what, man? I just heard John Walden told us 14% of people living in Jefferson County voted for the governor. I mean, for the mayor. 14%. And look what happened. See, we've got a right to get out and vote, amen? Boy, I'm going to go off on a rabbit trail right there, boy, if I wanted to. Hallelujah. You see, I'm about to read this. I'm going to go ahead and do it real quick. Check this out. This is layman terms, okay? Because if you actually read this bill, by the way, it's got almost 2,000 pages. 2,000 pages of nonsense on half of it. But what they really are trying to do, they try to put all this jargon in there and all these big terms and all this big stuff. So if they actually print it out for you, you would not understand what it says. It's these big politician terms, almost their own language is basically what it is. This guy has this email, and I've read several different websites about it, man. And this guy is, I mean, he's nailed on. I'm just going to read some of them to you. This is basically what it's saying. Number one, admission. Your health care will be rationed. Healthcare will be rationed if this comes in effect, okay? Listen to this one. A government committee will decide what treatments and benefits you get, and unlike an insurer, there will be no appeal process. Listen to this. 42, this is on page 42. The Health Choices Commissioner will decide health benefits for you. You will have no choice. 59, listen to this. The federal government will have direct, real-time access to all individual bank accounts for electronic funds transfer. That's your bank account and my bank account. Come on, somebody needs to be freaking out right now, because I am. 126, employers must pay health care bills for part-time employees and their families. 195, officers and employees of government health care bureaucracy will have access to all American financial and personal records. That's yours and mine, without permission, that is. 265, government mandates and controls productivity for private healthcare industries. Basically, they tell them how much business they can do and can't. Our small businesses are basically going down the drain as we speak right now. 241, doctors, no matter what specialty you have, you'll all be paid the same thing. 268, government regulates and rental and purchase of power-driven wheelchairs. If you need a power-driven wheelchair, the government decides whether you can have one or not. 427, government mandates program that orders end-of-life treatment. Government dictates how your life ends. Is your heart beating really hard right now? Advanced care planning consultant, listen to this, will be used to dictate treatment as patients' health deteriorates. This can include an order for end-of-life plans, an order from the government. Basically, the government will decide if you get to keep getting treatment to survive. Some of you are thinking I'm crazy right now. I am. Government will decide what level of treatments you may have at the end of your life. I want to go back up to one of them right here. On page 30, a government committee will decide what treatments and benefits you get. Bottom line, here's the one thing. There's a lot of that stuff that's in there that people just don't know about. They've hid it in there really good. You see, these are the people that we voted in to run our country. This is what's really going on behind the scenes. This is not just some made-up stuff. Look it up, read it for yourself. It's all in there. In those 2,000 pages, this is really what's going on. Is anybody freaking out yet? Huh? I mean, it got quiet up in here. What happened when I read it too? Because you see what? I don't have a TV. I've got one up there, but it sits in my floor. It's not even plugged in the wall because I hate TV. I hate it with a passion. I cannot stand it. It ruins kids. It ruins people's lives. It ruins marriages. It ruins families every single day for nothing. And you pay for it. I don't mean to step on toes tonight, but I hope something changes. You see, I don't even have a TV, and I hate TV. Can't stand it. I hope everybody hates it. But you know what? I use that as an excuse not to pay attention to the news and not really care about what's going on. And God really convicted me, man, so I started watching Fox News on my computer. Just the news, watching it on my computer and paying attention really what's going on. Then it started kicking in with me, really started listening to what's really going on. And man, it slapped me in the face. I about hit the floor. Because I could actually read and see what's really going on behind the scenes. You see, in 2 Timothy 1:7, listen to this. We'll start in verse 6. Says, this is in the King James Version. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou shalt stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on my hands, by the laying on of my hands, excuse me. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Come on, man, I'm going to read that one again. Listen to this. For God hath not given us a spirit of not fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You see, God has equipped you and he's equipped me to go and do something about this if we'll just stand up and not have a spirit of fear anymore and walk in our spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Man, am I talking to myself tonight? Because you see, I can't stand the fact that my grandmother might have to have a choice, that somebody else is going to have the choice whether she survives or dies. You see, whether my grandfather, when it's time for him to come up for another surgery, when cancer's attacking him again, and some man who's our president named as top of a committee, he makes a choice whether he lives or dies. You see, we call this the land of the free, right? That's what people have died for, and people have fought for, and people are fighting and dying right now in other countries, in Iraq and all in Afghanistan, for your freedom and my freedom to sit here and to live in the land of the free and to worship God in the land of the free. And as we sit back and we go about our entertainment lives and we do absolutely nothing and we're so self-absorbed about our life and our finances and things in our life, and we sit and we watch our country be taken right out from under us and be called the land of the slaves. You see, we sit back and we're doing nothing about it. You see, I don't mean to bring everybody down like this tonight when we got a rock and roll concert, but what I am fixing to do, and I'm fixing to show you something. This is powerful in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 9. I want to read this scripture one more time. 2 Timothy 6, look at that. I got 6 minutes, fellas. I'm watching it. I promise, 6 minutes. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. I want to put you in remembrance tonight. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young man. Some say 14, 15, 16, 17. Some say in his early 20s. I've heard some people say in their 30s. I don't think nobody knows exactly how old he was, but Timothy was a young pastor. And what's happening here is Paul is saying, Timothy, this is how you got to run the church, son. I'm putting you in. And Timothy, he put Timothy in charge of a lot, man. Timothy was a young man, kind of like God did me. He put me in charge of a lot. And I'm thinking, what are you doing, Lord? You see, that's what happened here. Paul put Timothy in charge of all this. God did, ultimately. And he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. He said, I put you in remembrance tonight. I want you to pay attention and listen, and we're going to stir up the gift of God that's inside of you. And he said that was put inside of you by the laying on of hands. You see, and I'm not fixing to get all Pentecostal on you tonight. If I wanted to and God wanted to, we would, okay? Because I'm straight up believing in the Holy Spirit, and I've watched him, what he does in my life. I call myself a Pentabaptist sometimes, whatever you want to call it. Baptist-costal, some people do it, so funny. We have a good time with it. But you see, what I'm about to show you is pure scripture. I'm not talking about coming up here and laying hands on you and you falling out on the floor. If that's what God wants to do, I hope you hit the floor. But if that's not what God wants to do, I don't want to freak you out. Nobody, God don't want to neither. The Holy Spirit and God's a gentleman, amen? But what I'm going to show you tonight is one of my favorite scriptures on this earth. I just prayed it over Jenna earlier, and we pray it all the time. This is in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. My mother, one time, I was in college, I had a power bill that was like $700, $800, and I was fixing to get kicked out. Didn't have any money. Mom didn't have any money. She was paying so many bills, and my roommates had done left. I'm sitting there around Christmas time, with no power, no water, no nothing, man. My bills, everything was turned off. I called the power company to find out exactly how much my bill is, and I don't even remember how much it was. It was crazy. And so my mom gets on the phone, and she says, son, we're going to do one thing. There's a scripture that God showed me. It's called the power of agreement, and we're going to agree right now over this telephone that your bill's going to be paid. I don't know how, but it's going to be paid. And we prayed right there on that phone, and praise God, I'll sit here and cry all night because it was so powerful. We sit there on that phone, and my mom said, in the name of Jesus right now, in the power of agreement, in chapter 18, verse 19, we agree that this bill is paid and my son's power is turned back on. I pick up the phone 15 minutes later. I call the power company back. I said, ma'am, I need to know my balance. She said, your balance is zero. You think I'm crazy? My mom was up there washing dishes because she cooked for everybody tonight. She's still serving God just like she always had. And she'll go up and tell you right now that is true as ever. I'll put my hand, we don't swear on the word of God. Amen. We don't swear on nothing. But you better know I don't lie, okay? That's the truth right there. That is the truth. And what happened, man, is I called him and I said, I don't know, man. Who paid it? We don't know, sir. I said, you can't tell me what division it was paid in? No, sir. All we know is zero. I said, did my mom send a check or something? I don't know, sir. It's just zero. That's all I know. You see, this scripture right here has been so powerful in my life, and it says, Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. You see, my mama prayed that scripture over us, and we pray it all the time. We've seen people healed. I've seen miracles. I've seen people step right out of bondage and never touch drugs or alcohol again. I've seen it so many times in the power of agreement and touching. Amen. And you know what I think about different denominations and Pentecostals who come lay hands on you. Amen. And you'll get slain in the spirit, some say. And some say, well, man, it's just the power of God hitting me, however you want to put it. But then you know what? I remember as a small child, my father, who's a Baptist preacher, my Baptist preacher uncle, I'd come up to the altar, and the next thing you know,
they're coming up and they're putting hands on me, praying over me, and holding my hand. That's the exact same thing. I don't care what denomination you're in. Walk up to the altar. Somebody's going to come up and put their hand around you and pray for you. Call it what you will. It's the same thing. You see, tonight I'm fixing to call you forth, and we've got 2 minutes, and I'm fixing to call you forth, and you're going to come forth tonight, and I'm asking you to stir up that thing and remember what's inside of you and the gift of God that's been put inside of you. And if you ain't never had that gift of God, then God's going to touch you so hard tonight, you'll never turn back. We're going to touch you tonight, and I'm not going to lay hands like this. I'll hold your hands. I'll put my hand on your back. I'll just hug you, whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you, where two or more come together, listen to this. Verse 19, again, I say unto you, this is Jesus talking. It's in red letters. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall they shall ask, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. You see, tonight I'm going to ask you to come forth and pray and let this fire and let that gift of God inside of you be stirred up so that when you hear that voice in your head saying you can't do nothing about your government, then you rebuke that joker and you go do something about it. You see, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, and we can stand up and do something. How many of you believe you're in Christ? You think Christ is sitting up there going, wow, Obama and that crew, I'm afraid of them. No, he ain't, man. You're heirs to the throne of God. Amen. You got the same anointing. I hear people say that all the time. Man, what about Matt Pitt and that anointing he has? Praise God, yes, he does. Amen. I love Matt Pitt, love what they do. Man, what about Jason Upton, the musician? He's got such an anointing on his life. Praise God, yes, he does. What about Steve Hill, the great evangelist, starting the Browns Revival? Praise God, yes, he does. But you know what? You've got the same anointing. Everybody has the same anointing from God. Whether you walk in it more or not is your choice. Everybody has the exact same anointing from God. And it's not an anointing of fear. It's an anointing of power and love and a sound mind. Tonight, are you going to walk in it? I'm calling the saints out, man. I'm calling the saints out. And if you're lost tonight, I'm calling you out to get some of Jesus. Get some of what I got, man. He'll flip your world upside down and you won't never think straight again. I'm serious. You won't never think straight again. I was talking about listening to a radio station today, man. He was talking about it, man. He said, it wasn't like I saw a different glow, but when Jesus came into my heart, I run 6 miles to my grandmother's house to tell her and show her I got saved. My life was changed. You see, tonight, I'm not kidding with you, man. Guys, if we don't do something, how many of you know it's on the downfall? Yes, it's biblical. It's going to happen. But it's how fast and all that stuff it goes on, whether it's a lot worse in the beginning before it happens, is our choice. You can stand up and do something about this. You can send letters to our Senate. You can send letters to our Congress. Make phone calls. Get up and vote. Get up and pray. Am I bad-mouthing our government? No, I'm bad-mouthing Satan that's in our government. Our Bible in Romans chapter 12, I promise, man, we're 1 minute late. Y'all can find me at $10 every minute, okay? In Romans chapter 12, he says, all authority on earth is ordained by God. All authority. And we're to pray for all of our authority. Does that mean? And the Bible plainly then goes on to say that you do have to obey that authority unless they're asking you to sin. So our job is to pray for them, and that's what you can do. But guys, I want somebody to walk out of here, everybody to walk out of here tonight with a bubble inside of you, remembering that God Almighty, His Son, that David talked about, left perfection. Like I always see it, He left perfection. Think about it. Think about it for a minute. He was not sitting out in some cow pasture on some wooden throne. He was sitting on perfection in heaven, the glorious throne of God. He was sitting there at the right hand of the Father, and the Father says, Son, will you go get my children? They've messed it up. And he chose right then and there to leave perfection, to leave the glorious throne of God, to come down here for us. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say amen? You have touched our hearts, Lord, and God, you've changed our life. You've changed my life, God. Every time I preach a sermon, Father, I have to first go through it before I can even preach it and talk about it, God. Thank you for changing my life, opening my eyes about what's really going on, God. And, Father, trying to bring an awareness and alert, God. But also, Father, more importantly and most importantly, God, bring an awareness about the fire of God that's inside of us that just needs to be stirred up.
God, tonight, thank you for the reminder, the remembering tonight, God, of the gift that you've given us, Father. You've given us the precious gift of carrying, of wearing the slap bracelet tonight, God. Thank you, Father, that we've given us the precious gift of wearing Jesus, walking with Jesus, loving Jesus, having a relationship with him. And God, all power is in him. All things were created through him, by him, and for him. And we walk in that, God. We walk in that power. Thank you for that tonight, Father. Thank you for reminding us. Hallelujah. Father, you're wonderful. Such a reminder of how good you are. The things we do to one another, the choices we make, you've still loved us enough to ask your son to leave perfection, to come down here for us. Thank you for the reminder tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, I just, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. And I thank you. Daddy, I ask tonight that you would stir our hearts evermore tonight as we go home, as we leave this place, even as we continue to have a good time with Runs Restored. God, tonight, just stir our hearts. God, kindle a fire inside of us, Father, like never before. God, over everybody that's in here, those that didn't come forward, those that did, God, stir a fire inside of us, God, that we would not be pew setters, that we would not be a people that sit back at the gas station when somebody needs prayer or somebody's hurting, God, that we would not be somebody that sits back in a spirit of fear, but God, we would be somebody that walks into power and love and a sound mind. We would step forth and say, Jesus loves you. I love you. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, loves you. Please know that. God, we're going to walk out in that. You're going to give us that fire, that stir that up inside of us, God. That everybody that we see, everybody that we see and come in contact with, Father, we would look at them as though we're the last person that they could ever meet Jesus through. We're the last person they may ever talk to on the face of this earth. Let us see them that way, Father. Let us know and preach the gospel and speak the gospel as dying men and women to a dying man and woman. Father, we thank you tonight for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. For without him, we are nothing. Thank you for Runs Restored coming out in the bands tonight, God. I pray that you bless them. Father, I pray that you bless this word that has come forward, God. We go and marinate in our hearts, God. We go home tonight, Father. I pray that we think about it, God. We dwell on it, Father. We take the word and let it go in our hearts and write it on the tablets of our hearts tonight. Father, I pray as the bands continue tonight, as Runs Restored continues, that you pray them, God, give them revelation to speak. Thank you for them, Father. God, we just pray that if anybody be here tonight, Father, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray tonight, God, the conviction would be so hard, their knees are so weak, they can't hardly make it up to talk to us. God, I pray that it hit them so hard, Father, that they have to come forward. And tonight would be the night of salvation. God, I thank you for all that you do, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.